Thank you for your generous and regular support of Issues Etc. Your gifts and your prayers are vital to our Christ-centered, cross-focused radio outreach. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
My intention is not to invoke the name of Jesus. I want this to be a prayer to the God of our many understandings.
We've anointed and consecrated this passageway, so symbolic, when the president-elect passes through here to become the next president of the United States.
There's a passage where Paul says, if I stay here and live with you, that's good. If I die and go to heaven, that's better. That's how I feel about this decision.
One of the things that was said is that in your religion, you don't take anyone to a doctor. Is that the case?
No, that's just not true. It's actually the opposite.
I think there's room for two Oprahs. I think if there is a new Oprah, Oprah would be happy that Obama's the new Oprah.
It was actually so cold outside this morning. I've talked a little bit about the cats here on the program. Haven't I talked about cats? Yeah. Talked a bit about our wayward cats. My dog is a 12-year-old border collie, and she loves cold weather. When it snows, all she does is stand by the back door wanting to go out. And, of course, this morning is no exception. She wants to go out about 4:30 this morning. And it's very cold in this area right now. I think it was sub-zero, and then who knows what the wind chill factor is. She goes out there. I think it was so cold that metal froze. If metal can freeze, it did. She's got this tie-out, this cable that holds her to the ground, lest she run away, because she's very strong. And we give her plenty of room to run, and she can see everybody and bark at everybody. Metal froze. At least it felt like it froze. I know that her master froze, stepping out to try and drag her back in the house. She did not want to come back in. A very cold January 16th. So cold that we actually have the heat going at the LPR bunker today, which we don't do because Jeff and I are very sensitive to the heat. We're like hothouse flowers. We wilt away. Craig can sit there and take anything. We just practically fall over. Jeff is constantly complaining how hot it is and then how cold it is. We're old men. Craig's a young man. But we have a lot to do on this Friday's Issues, etc. As usual, it's listener email to begin with, coming to you live this Friday, January the 16th. Then Issues, etc. Blog of the week. I literally chose my blog of the week seconds before the microphone was opened. Up until that point, I was yelling to Jeff, I have nothing, I have nothing. Issues, etc. Soundbite of the week. Boy, do we have soundbites of the week. Some great soundbites of the week. Found at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under On Demand. You'll find the four soundbites there. You can listen to them. And then you can also vote. And those who call with their votes during Soundbite of the Week get top priority, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. After the first hour of the program, Congressman John Shimkus will be our guest. He'll join us here in the studio for a Washington update. He serves the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. Wesley Smith will join us after that to call – well, he calls this biological colonialism. It's terrible. It's shocking. It is hard to believe that it's taking place in this day and age, and I think it's a good term. Biological colonialism has to do with foreign organs and rich Americans. We'll talk about that in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Our call-in numbers for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Listener emails up first.
David in Oklahoma writes, I'm an iPod user and am listening to this podcast right now. This is my first email. I've really enjoyed your podcast and have been keeping up since you came back on in July. Roman Catholics talk about transubstantiation and Lutherans talk about in, with, and under. Can you please tell me how these two compare and contrast? A question about the Lord's Supper from David in Oklahoma.
Well, first of all, Lutherans and Roman Catholics do not disagree when it comes to whether or not the body and blood of Jesus are present with the bread and wine to be eaten, to be drunk for the forgiveness of sins according to Christ's promise and command. There's no disagreement on that bare fact that there is present the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's where the similarities stop. The difference between transubstantiation and the Lutheran in with and under is that the first is an explanation, an attempt to explain how the body and blood of Jesus are present there. And the second, in with and under, is an attempt, and I think a successful attempt, to say we can't explain how, but it is. So the difference between Lutherans and Roman Catholics on transubstantiation versus in with and under is that transubstantiation is a philosophical attempt to explain the manner in which the body and blood of Jesus are present along with the bread and wine. They say the substance itself actually changes from bread to body, from wine to blood, but the accidents, that is, the external things that we can observe with our senses, remain unchanged. Lutherans say no such explanation is either necessary, no such explanation is warranted based upon the simple words of Christ, this is my body, this is my blood. The other difference, and this is a bigger difference actually, between Roman Catholics and Lutherans on the Lord's Supper is what the Lord's Supper actually does. Both believe that it is for the forgiveness of sins. However, the Roman Catholics will teach that there is a representation, not a representation, but a representation of Christ's once-for-all sacrifice. They call it an unbloody sacrifice, made by the priest, only he is qualified to carry out this thing, in the actual presentation of the Mass. And Lutherans will say there is no unbloody sacrifice. The benefits of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection are given to us through the eating and drinking of bread, body, wine, blood there in the Lord's Supper. And we attempt no further explanations, and we attempt no further philosophical speculations about what's going on there beyond the words of Christ himself.
Eric writes, what is a Christian's response to the transgenders? While this has been quiet in the past in our society, it is no longer the case. In the past 6 months, two reality shows have featured transgender individuals. I understand there's multiple layers to this topic, which is very similar to gay and lesbian issues. However, there is an added degree of transgenders with their surgery to change their bodies. It would be interesting to hear you guys tackle this topic as I see it becoming coming to light in our society more and more. Thanks, Eric, for the email.
It's a great suggestion. Jeff, I think the best guy to talk about that would be Joe Dallas initially. I'm thinking through guests that we have that talk about these issues, because what Joe could probably do is sort out the separate threads of gay lesbian from transgendered. They overlap, but they don't overlap entirely. So the emailer is absolutely correct. There's an added dimension here, and that is about kind of the transformation of the body through surgery. And it's not so much that the surgery, while it might be considered, I think, self-destructive, that would be my main concern there. It's the goal of the surgery, and that is somehow to effect an external change, sometimes with hormones and things like that, to the physical body to convince oneself, society, that you're a woman living in a man's body, or vice versa. It's self-deception. I mean, if you want to really, it's to what lengths will we go to deceive ourselves? And if you ask me, I don't want to sound glib about this, but the whole movement of the transgendered wing of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered complex, the whole goal there is, how far can I go to deceive myself? And how it mixes in with the gay and lesbian issues, I think, is even more complicated. We'll try and get Joe Dallas on to talk about it. Next time we get him on, we'll field that question with him. Good suggestion.
Any idea what show elicited the most email this week?
You mean what of this week's shows?
Yes. Wasn't even close.
I have no idea what was
the airing of the interview with Bishop Gene Robertson about his prayer at this upcoming inaugural event.
It's interesting. They got a lot of email. I don't think we got a single phone call.
No, we had a couple of emails, and then we had like five emails right after the we moved on to another topic.
Okay, what did the listeners have to say about our...
Here's Christina. She writes, not wanting to offend others. She's talking about Bishop Robinson's prayer. It's so very tired. When people/businesses replace the holidays with Christmas, and when clergymen ignore Christ in order to include everyone, they are certainly excluding and offending me and all other true Christians. I wonder if they realize this. That's from Christina.
Well, Gene Robinson certainly realizes exactly what he's doing. If you listen to the interview wherein he says he plans not to mention Christ nor quote Scripture, but to give a prayer at his aspect of the of President Obama's, I guess we could start calling presidents only a week away, President-elect Obama's inauguration, his plan is to avoid anything distinctly Christian and pray a prayer of our, what is it, the God of all our imaginations or all our conceptions or something like that. He's being honest, and he is simply saying, I know exactly what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it. And he knows exactly what the reaction will be. He just doesn't care, which kind of could explain a lot of Gene Robinson's career in the last 10 years. He knows exactly what he's doing. He just doesn't care. I think Gene Robinson is a good example of someone who to the world appears as the most affable, reasonable, open-minded person you'd ever want to meet. But I think to the thoroughgoing Christian appears to be a man who does not fear God. He either does not fear God or beneath it all, he doesn't believe there is one. It's the only way I can explain this. Now, I want to say something about holidays, though, because I use that term a lot. Holidays, we're coming off the holiday season. I think it's worth keeping. Because all it means is holy days. And the days of Christian celebration around Christ's incarnation and birth and the Epiphany are holy days. Holy days are good things. So if we shorten it to holidays, when I say holidays, I mean holy days. So I'm not ready to throw that word out. I think Christians ought to be clear about what the holy days are. I also don't want to throw out Xmas. I like Xmas too because it's got a cross in it. In fact, anybody who knows me knows that I will usually write Christmas, Xmas, and I'll usually write Christian. It drives people crazy. Christian is spelled X-I-A-N in Wilkins Dictionary because it's a cross. It's not just Christ, it's Christ-centered, cross-focused. Listener email, more of it after this. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is full of resources to help you and your congregation observe the season of Lent. It's titled, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. It contains devotions, Bible studies, sermons, children's messages, and bulletins for the Lenten season. You can purchase O Sacred Head Now Wounded by calling Concordia Publishing House, 800-325-3040, or click the CPH logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Sacred Head Now Wounded.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor James Norton, Carol Hack, Pastor Lloyd Nickel, Marilyn Norton, Marilyn Nickel, Brian Grammons, Amy Strew, Greg Bick, Pastor Tim Schellenbach, and Lori Harris. Thanks for your support.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
You want to test a clergyman to find out whether or not he's faithful. Don't talk about God. Talk about Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. And if the guy gets a little hesitant or looks at his watch and he's got something better to do, you need to go to a different church.
My intention is not to invoke the name of Jesus, but to make this a prayer for Christians and non-Christians alike, a prayer to the God of our many understandings.
It does speak to a broader trend when you look at the bureaucratization of national church bodies, or the disconnect between the leadership of church bodies, which tend to be much more liberal than their lay people.
That's exactly the way to say it, is to hell with the law. That's not the point. There's a guy who needs me, and I'm here.
In about 20 minutes, time for your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Those who call and vote will get top priority. You can also email your vote to us at talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. We're going through listener email.
I guess I better turn my mic on, huh? Hey, yeah. By the way, just you haven't asked, but Randy Moore Repair Service, Justin's basketball team, we've on a 2-game losing streak. Just wanted to let you know.
So what's your overall record so far?
I don't know. We might be right at 500 or a little bit below 500. I'm trying not to I try not to keep track.
Look, anything's better than your past. Anything's better than the same team when it was named Edwardsville Frozen Foods. That was abysmal. I was embarrassed. Everyone was embarrassed. The whole town of Edwardsville was embarrassed for you.
And not as embarrassed as my brother and me. but we might not win a game the rest of the year. Our second best player is a girl. Her mom calls me the other night. She's out for the year. She's got water on her knee. Fourth grader.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, water on her knee. It's like, well, can I?
What have you been doing?
Can I take a look at that knee?
What kind of practices have you been
running? I know. Exactly.
I mean, that's a real injury.
I know.
My goodness.
Yeah, that's a I've offered to pay to take her and get a second opinion.
I thought you'd have like a team surgeon ready to, you know, head out on the sidelines and make sure.
Believe me, I've already contacted the city to see if I can get a replacement player. I'm recruiting. I go to the playgrounds of East St. Louis and ask little kids if they want to play on the City League basketball team on Wednesday nights. So, hey, since we got the most email, we read a couple more from the Bishop Robinson inaugural prayer event. Karen in Wyoming, I find Gene Robinson's comments refreshing. At least he is being honest. A Christian then has the freedom to withhold his or her amen.
She's right. She's absolutely right. I mean, say what you want about Gene Robinson's plan not to pray in the name of Jesus, mention Jesus, or say anything distinctly Christian. Say what you want about it. But the guy's being honest. He's more honest as, let's just call him, for lack of a better word, kind of the face of Christian liberalism. He's more honest than most of the other faces of Christian liberalism. He's far more honest than those who would essentially hold the same fearful stance toward culture. What is it? Too eager to please and too fearful to offend the culture. Most of them wouldn't be so honest, but he is, and you got to hand it to him.
I don't know about that. You always said Bishop John Shelby Small is one of the most honest people that you've had on the show.
He certainly is.
I think maybe the old line liberals are, in general, the most honest.
I agree. Most of them outside, say, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you find a genuine old line liberal inside the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they will deny it to the hilt. They will tell you, they'll spend all day telling you how conservative they are.
Well, we don't have any liberals in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. How many times have we heard that one? Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's an old joke.
Should read our email.
Yeah, exactly. But look, guys like John Shelby Spong, at least you know what you're dealing with. He will tell you flat out what he believes, what he doesn't believe. The same is true of Bishop Gene Robinson. Disagree with the guy, I certainly hope you do. But at least he tells you exactly what he believes. He does not hemi-haw. He does not pull his punches. And you're dealing with an honest broker there.
Speaking of prayers at the inauguration, Ken in Orlando, Florida, has a little bit different take on this. How ironic that Rick Warren, a man who has spent so much time and effort marketing Christianity to make it more acceptable to the world, has found himself in the anti-Christian crosshairs of that same culture. And I'm not referring to a stance against Prop 8 in California, which was a courageous for him to take, but to whether or not he will pray in Christ's name at the presidential inauguration. No matter how hard we try to repackage the cross, it will always be a scandal to the world. And no matter how we try to repackage our works, they will always be filthy rags before a holy God, unless they arise from faith in the one who covers us in his perfect righteousness and forgives us through the blood of his cross. I pray that this will be a turning point for Mr. Warren, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and all of us who have wanted the world to smile on us. We need to reread the book of Acts and relearn the cost of preaching Christ and him crucified in a dying and sin-filled world. We can only stand and confess faithfully because he now lives through us and strengthens us through his gospel. That's from Ken in Orlando, Florida.
Ken, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Florida. I have high hopes for Rick Warren. I've been a stalwart critic of Warren and his books and of much of his teaching and the direction that he's taken not only American evangelicalism, but my own church body. So I don't retract any of that, but I know that the man is a Christian, that he's capable of clearly confessing Christ crucified for the sins of the world. I know he's capable of it, and I have high hopes that he will. I'm hopeful that Warren will go there and in whatever capacity, pray, invocation, whatever it is, he will confess the true God as the only true God. Christ is the only way of salvation. If he doesn't, I'll be sorely disappointed. I will be surprised. I will be surprised, too, because I think he understands what he needs to do there, especially with Gene Robinson, the stuff he's been saying lately. I have to say, what pastor worth his salt? If I were sitting in Rick Warren's office right now giving him advice about next week's inauguration, I would say, Rick, remember you're a Baptist. Pray like an old Baptist preacher would pray. You get out there and you talk about Jesus and the blood and the cross and the sacrifice and the forgiveness, and you put that before the people, and you get ready for whatever slings and arrows that the world's ready to throw at you, and I will stand behind you 100%.
Minus the sinner's prayer that might come with the old Baptist.
Right, minus the sinner's prayer. But, you know, from his, I can't tell him to be Lutheran because he isn't, but I could remind him, hey, Rick, you're a Baptist. And one thing Baptists still remember is that Jesus died for sinners and that they've never, at least in the recent history, they've never been shy about Jesus in public. I don't think he should be when he stands up for his prayer next week.
Here's an email from Paul in Milwaukee on the show on Men in Church. Number one, women survive longer than men on average. I suspect Lutherans and other Christians are not exempt from this phenomena. If this is true, there is a smaller pool of men than women to draw upon for church attendance, and therefore fewer men in church than women, all factors being equal. Number two, bar mitzvahs are similar for Christian boys might result in better male church attendance. This was something suggested by our guest, Dr. Gary Zeroth. He says the ladies and feminized men may notice this, start female bar mitzvahs and the like, and we're back to where we started with the male church attendance proportion problem. That's from Paul in Milwaukee.
Yeah, Paul likes to think these things through. You're right. This is it's also going to be a snowballing effect. The fewer and fewer men, then men live less time. You're talking about two factors that contribute to a emasculization of the church. I think that the church, I think it was Pastor Zeroth who said that what we lack is a male rite of passage. And I think we have one. But I think it's almost disappeared in the life of the church. And I'm not talking about confirmation, but I think it's related to something like confirmation. And that is, there was a time, I think, when young men coming to age, that is, reaching their teenage years, were expected to begin to behave, think, act more and more like their fathers at church. They were expected to come to church the same way their fathers did, leading the family to church. And there's a rite of passage there. I don't know what it is, but there's something about the previous generations where a young man realized that part and parcel of adult manhood was leading the way to church every Sunday. What's next?
Well, first of all, before we forget, we apologize. We had our telephone answering machine has been down. The Issues Etc. listener comment line is back. And this is a good time to remind people to call that because the email we love the email, but we simply can't reply to all the email. And you've got a better chance getting a response to your question or comment on the comment line than sending us email.
Right. The comment line's back up, 618-223-8384, 24 hours for any kind of comments, criticism, suggestions you want to make, 618-223-8384. We bought a very expensive phone to keep the comments, and then it turned out using Wilkins' old answering machine to replace the phone, and now we are able to take comments. Again, you'll hear them soon on the air, 618-223-8384. Got time for one more quick one?
Sure, just some feedback from Bob in Milton, Florida. Thanks for continuing the Responding to Evangelical Proof Text series. I will definitely add them to one of the playlists that I always keep on my MP3 player. It joins the John Pless Law and Gospel series, Rod Rosenblatt's Reformation Sola series, Paul McCain on the Lutheran Confessions, and Andrew Doss on baptism. I really treasure the ongoing catechesis that you all have provided. I think that a Pastor Swirla series on the parables will be a keeper too. Thanks, Bob, in Florida.
No, it will be a keeper. I can guarantee it. And we love our on-demand listeners. We know that many of you, your access to us is through your iPod, your MP3 player, your computer, and we know that you're listening sometimes weeks or months behind, and we're happy for that. We love our on-demand listeners. We also love those who listen live and everybody listening. And those who email us, thanks for all the listener email. And we really are sorry we can't get to all of it, but there's more and more, just more for next week. When we come back, issues, et cetera, blog of the week. Jeff has his pick. I have my pick. I'll explain how you, if you're a blogger, can throw your blog into the ring for consideration each week as we read the blogs and pick an issues, et cetera, blog of the week. And then get ready. Issues, et cetera, soundbite of the week before hour two begins. Stay tuned.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Chris Kagi, Robert Lair, Carol Lair, Pastor Robert Beinke, Pastor Mark Ebert, Pastor Norman Friedmeier, David Jackson, Chuck Christensen, Nathaniel Burdick, and Adam Bearhorst. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Men who are involved in the prenatal care of their babies are more likely to be good fathers. Researchers at the University of Maryland studied thousands of couples and found fathers who were involved during pregnancy were more likely to be close to the child 3 years later. They bonded with their unborn child by buying things for the baby, helping the mother get to doctor appointments, or being there at the birth. Not surprisingly, they found a stable home life is a good predictor of whether the father will be hanging around after birth. I believe this research underscores God's design of saving sex for marriage in a two-parent household. Even when this isn't the case, a father's participation in the pregnancy increases the chances children will have an active and present father.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.